other side. Now presenting Channeling Eric's Hour of Enlightenment.
Okay, Eric, we're back. Oh, Johnny, we're back. Oh, I am so sorry, guys, that you had to, like, you know, hang on for 15 minutes. I really apologize for that. And it could have been my mistake. You know, God knows I make plenty of them. I don't know. I can't blame Blog Talk, okay? You know, you're supposed to select the duration, and I sort of got, I felt like I did 60 minutes, but I could have messed up. I'm known to do that plenty of times. So my apologies. So dude, let's talk about this more. You know, so sometimes a narcissist can kind of be a gift in your life. Like for me, my father was actually a gift because without his psychosis and his narcissism, God rest his soul, I don't think I would have, and I've said this many times, learned, you know, how to find my own power, how to be more assertive, and also how to be a better mother and have more compassion and to be more nurturing. I could have ended up being some horrible, selfish, shallow boor had it not been for that gift. So let's talk about that. Can a narcissist into your life, can you tweak the perspective so that they're not just like creating victimhood in you, but actually giving you an open window to find your own power and to evolve?
Yes, absolutely. Eric says you're exactly right, Mom.
It's the person's choice.
That's exactly right. And that's exactly what Eric was just repeating as you were talking. He says, that's right. It's a choice. It's a choice. Just like everything else, we come into the families that we have, the relationships that we start out with. And, you know, some of us are in different places than others, but it is all a choice. Absolutely,
yeah.
Everything is a choice. And he says, That's exactly what's for you, Mom. And you did grow, and all of the lessons that you took from your relationship with your father is like, look what it's done for you. Look at the type of mother you are, how loving, how compassionate.
Oh, God, yeah.
And that came from all of that.
Yeah, but okay, I got to fess up. I was a silly victim for like, you know, a couple of decades there. So, you know, I'm a slow learner. So what can I say?
Well,
so yes, I did not catch on immediately. But you know, everybody has their own, you know.
Well, that's just it. Eric says we don't step out and we're born and we walk into this perfect path of perfection of ourselves. He
Thank
says
God.
The journey is all about finding ourselves. Yes. He goes, it's about the journey. It's not about getting to a certain point. It's about the journey. And so the being able to find that, you know, what is the reason why you want to please this person so bad? What's the reason why you want to continue in this relationship? Well, you find your power. You figure out, well, I'm doing this for this need to be accepted. And then you start to look at, he says, the programs that you have within you, you start to look at yourself. It's all of these opportunities. And again, it is a choice because not everybody will take that, but it truly is a choice. And if you want to get out of the cycle, you have to choose to not look from the perspective of a victim. You cannot be the victim. You want to be the victim.
I know. Mm-hmm. Yes. Not the survivor. I hate that. It's the thriver.
That's
so,
right.
Okay, so why do some people choose relationship with, abusive people, whether narcissists or not? Why?
Well, Eric
like
says
women who keep choosing guys who look good on the outside, but then beat them and all that stuff. Why? Or belittle them, et cetera.
Well, he says, what is that person doing to themselves? What have they done to themselves? Because often there's a reason why the person that is in that relationship or who cycles in that relationship is the one that is berating themselves, is self-sabotaging themselves. So he says it always comes from a place of feeling that they deserve that. that they deserve okay. that behavior, that they yeah. don't deserve any better than that. And that's where all of the empowerment and understanding comes from, when we're taking on the results of whatever somebody else has projected on us, or the circumstances mm-hmm. that we've made, and we blame ourselves, we accept the guilt. So that becomes part of us. And so that behavior feels normal. That behavior feels right, because that's what we've been doing to ourselves inside.
Yeah.
So he says
So self-love is super important mm-hmm. to combat this. But also, guys, like I did, you have to like, okay, I'm suffering right now in this freaking relationship. What am I getting out of it? What are the teachable moments that are helping my soul evolve? So then you could say, hey, yeah, I get this, I get that, I get this, I get that, and I'm so grateful. Thank you, Mr. or Mrs. Narcissist, for giving me these gifts. So now I'm grateful, and I can let go of the suffering.
That's right. He says it's like anything else, something that brings out victim in us, whether it is a disease, a circumstance, a relationship. He says it's the acceptance and the awareness of what the gift is in that for us. And that comes by choosing to see that. You can have freedom.
You, Michelle, you know that on a personal level, which is why I so admire you. Okay?
Thank you.
It's one of the many reasons. Plus, I like the way you say out and about. So cute.
out.
You Canadians.
See,
so
I don't even notice it.
Well, I mean, I got my drawl. It's like my husband, when he first met me, when we went to his parents, he kept wanting me to do that Wolf Brand chili commercial. How long has it been since you had a hot steaming bowl of Wolf Brand chili? Well, that's too long. Okay, I'll stop. Oh my God, I'm even embarrassing myself. Okay, which is hard to
that's
do.
Good.
All right, so why is it so hard to leave an abusive / narcissistic relationship? Is it only because of problems with, I don't love myself, so I will never be able to find anybody else who will, so I got to stick with somebody who says they love me, or what? Or it could be with a boss or anything.
Well, that's it. Need to be accepted. It's that whether it's fear of loneliness, fear that nobody else will ever love me, and think about if a relationship, and many people that are in narcissistic relationships or have broken free from this, Eric says, may have heard, nobody else will love you. Nobody else will love you like I do. Nobody else will accept all these things about you like I do. And so these things begin to change a person's way of thinking. It becomes part of them. They begin to believe this. So then it becomes this loyalty to surviving and making things better. And
it's almost like a Stockholm syndrome. Yeah, it's almost like a Stockholm syndrome. Yeah.
It really is.
Like the hostage, identifies and, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Eric says that's exactly right. That's a really good analogy. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it's about self-love. If you love yourself enough, you can say, screw you, Mr. or Mrs. Narcissistic Abusive Boss or Husband or Wife. I'm out of here. And I think one of the biggest lessons there is finding your own power, finding self-empowerment.
Yes.
But sometimes it's difficult because sometimes, money is involved. And so for some, it's very difficult to leave that kind of relationship if that other person is the breadwinner and the other is like a housekeeper, a mother, or whatever, which is a very difficult job, et cetera. So,
And Eric says that often that is the case. Often there is other pieces wrapped up into it, children, money, dependency. And these are all these pieces and parts that hold an abusive relationship together, and why they stayed in it for so long. But he said that the importance of asking the questions, because self-realization and self-love means that you care enough about yourself that you're going to sit down with yourself and you're going to say, what am I getting out of this? what is the benefit to this? What is the cost or the price of my freedom? What is worth it for me? And then adding that, he says, this is the part of the journey where you need to put forth in front of you that faith and that trust of knowing by choosing love for yourself, by choosing
yes.
that freedom for yourself, that it will continue to get better. You may weather a storm at one point to get through it, but getting through it will give you so much better in life. And he says that really is a guarantee, but it isn't easy. It's not
no.
easy.
But guess what? It's also, if you're a parent, it's so much better for the child to, for you to model that. It's scary. I've had so many people who say, I put my husband through medical school and stuff, and now I don't have any skills because, except for raising kids and being a mother, which is an awesome skill. Okay, I'm just telling you. And and so they're afraid to go out to leave because it's like, they don't want to end up on the streets with their children. So it is so
That's
difficult.
Right.
So what do you tell people like that?
Well, he says fear is, we have to remember what are the fears, and are the fears something that we're in right now? Because he says if you're not going to move forward if you stay in the fear. And he says
yeah.
and it is scary. It truly is. But he says, again, this is about choice. And we have to be able to move through
yeah.
the fear, to be able to be in the present moment and see what we have control over, and to be able to move through that and to know
yeah.
that we are supported. He goes, when you're connected to yourself, when you're doing something for yourself
yes.
that's in love for the betterment of you and all those around you, and when you are walking away from abuse, that is self-love, the betterment for you and for all those around you. And when you do that, he says that fear will begin to dissolve because your empowerment within you begins
yes.
to fill its place.
Right. And even if it means like getting away and taking it like a little job, part-time job, whatever, and then going to night online school or whatever to develop some sort of skill, marketable skill for the job place, and then boom, that's it. You're all that and a bag of chips, man.
That's right.
All right, so what if you have a friend or a family member who is in a relationship like that? How can you help them? And then we'll turn over to callers, if you don't mind.
So Eric's just saying the first thing is to not judge. He says it's really important to not take a look
yeah.
at that relationship and to say things like, that's true, because Eric's just saying, the person that's in the relationship is berating themselves enough. He says the self-loathing and the pain that person is already going through, whether they're making
it
clear
to you or
not, they don't need more.
Yeah.
He says
no.
If you can be objective, if you can be supportive and unconditional, and he says
yes.
unconditional means that you're not putting any conditions on what they do, but to help support them in what you see, because often the person on the outside is able to see things that the person in the relationship is not able to see.
Exactly.
So if you have that benefit, he says, take that opportunity, but to always do it in love. And he says, not tough love. He says, there's a difference between being
gentle love.
Loving,
no.
gentle,
yeah.
because that's what's needed. And be there for that person.
Yeah.
He says, really be there. Be there to allow them to talk to you about it. And also don't have expectations that remember that abuse is a cycle, no matter what kind of abuse that they're in, that there is sometimes an addiction to that abuse because they're so used to feeling that way. So he says, don't.
Why would people be addicted to abuse?
Well, he means in the same, like what we said with Stockholm syndrome.
Okay, got it. I understand. Right.
Feeling, right. So he says to remember that it's not just a simple thing for a person to turn around and walk away.
No.
Sometimes it can happen, but it doesn't always happen. So being unconditional means I'm here for you, whether you stay or whether you go. And to help encourage them to be able to take the exit or to make the choices for themselves, whether they are in the relationship and continuously working on themselves by working on yourself, you will eventually get to the point where leaving is the only option. Ending your relationship is an option.
Right. So there's a sequence to things that can be very fluid. I mean, you can work on yourself, find your own power, and then leave.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can, if things are really horrible, you can leave and then find your own power. And, and you know, friends and family, they can say, come stay with me, okay? You don't have enough for rent. Stay with us, and we'll help you watch your kids sometimes while you go to night school or, you know, things like that. So there's a lot of things that we can do to help people in this terrible situation. But what about the workplace? I mean,
well,
I've had so many people who say they have bosses, especially female for some reason, well, both really, that they're so abusive and cut them down and insult them and just rob them of whatever remains of their self-esteem. But hey, they got to have a living, you know.
And Eric says, again, this comes down to choice, because there's going to be times where which one is learning the patience, because we're going to work with people that are going to be difficult to tolerate. We're not all going to be easy peasy with absolutely everybody. But he says, if you've got somebody that is berating you, if you're working for somebody that continuously shuts you down, he says, it's time to be in your own awareness and keep taking stock of what exactly you're doing. Are you continuously doing something to please this person? Are you perpetuating this pattern? And he says, there's ways of doing this where you don't need to be combative with that person, but have your boundaries.
Yeah, you can say, hey, look, you can't talk to me like this, okay, I guess. Sometimes you have to use the sandwich technique, which I use with my kids all the time, actually everybody, where you have to say something positive, even loving, and then put the, you know, whatever they're doing wrong, and then finish it with something nice. So, look, dude, I think you're an awesome boss. You're such so good with handling clients. But I need you to treat me with more respect. If you could do that, we're going to be a great team. So there, bada boom, bada boom. So, you know, and sometimes, and I use this all the time in my thinking, sometimes the people who are the hardest to love, i.e. abusive bosses, for example, are the ones that need you the most. So sometimes you just need to send them, in your mind, whatever, love and light, and try to, I mean, I've like this one lady, when I one time did my nails, okay, she was so unhappy looking, okay? Her name was Tammy. They're all called Tammy. I don't know what it is. But anyway, so, and I just sent her, just boom, love and light to her heart. And she melted. She changed. It was really weird. So
Eric,
you guys have
Eric
the power to change that. Yeah, it really does
that's
work.
That's a real thing.
It's a real thing.
Absolutely
so,
does.
Yeah, so you can actually transform. It might be difficult, and it is not your responsibility, okay? But you can transform somebody abusive, unless they have mental illness, okay? You can transform them with love. All right, you want to take callers? Do you have anything else to say, Eric, before we take callers?
No, Eric says, Mom, let's go. He's rubbing his hands together, and he's excited to get in and talk to some peeps, he says.
Oh, my God. You have taught me so much in this one, well, in everything. But this has been so awesome. I really appreciate it, Eric, my love. Okay, we're going to take somebody from the, well, let me click again, from the too many digits to count area code, which is 447 blah, 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 blah. Hi there. And, you know, you're an international caller probably, so I kind of want to help you out here.
Hello, hello, ladies. Yep.
Hello.
What's up?
Who we
I'm
got
from
here?
The UK. It's Raf. It's your boy, Raf.
Hey,
Raf.
I remember you. So what you got for us, dude?
My question. My question is just, what's the main lesson for me right now, and what perspective can I adopt to make it easier?
Oh, wow, that's good.
First thing,
Good.
First thing Eric said is patience. That there's a lesson in patience right now.
Oh, that's awful.
I'm teasing.
It's, you know, patience is very difficult for me. So, I feel your pain, dude. But go ahead.
Robert, are you waiting on something, or are you waiting to develop something?
Yeah, he shows your energy.
Okay, he just shows your energy is going ahead, and he says, "Dude, he goes, step yourself right into the present moment, because by relaxing into the present moment and have patience." And he says, patience is also having trust in yourself and knowing that there really is divine timing to everything. Because he says, sometimes when your energy goes a little bit ahead, what that does is that starts to develop some confusion. It starts to develop a little bit of a feeling like you need to be doing more, you need to be doing more. When in actuality, it's about being in the moment. Because he says, in the moment will manifest and bring things closer to you, will bring things quicker to you. So he's just saying that patience is your big lesson that you're in right now. But he also says that you have, in 6 weeks' time, there's something that's changing in what you're doing. So whatever it is that you're waiting for, there's something he's showing by letter, by email, there's some sort of contact that you're going to be getting.
Okay, 6 weeks.
Okay,
right.
Okay. That's good. I lost my voice, so.
Ron? Yeah, that's cool. I'm kind of losing you right now, but that's all right. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Okay.
We lost you there for a second, Elise.
Thank you. Why doesn't he get rid of it? I don't know. And you met him. Okay, spinning. Hello? Oh, God.
Okay, there you are. There you go. Oh, it's kind of quiet. Not sure if it's just me here. Will you see he's still there?
Hello? Okay. Hello, anybody home? Hey, Michelle, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, God, I don't know what. That blog talk threw me off. But that's okay. We're okay. So,
yes.
I have somebody from the 813 area code. Are you there? It's weird because they are listed twice on the studio board. So let me try the other number, the other one. Hi there. How are you doing?
Hello. Elise, can you hear me?
Yes. I mean, for some reason, you have two numbers here, and I got kicked off on Blog Talk Radio. Hey, guess what? Give what you pay for. So,
yep.
You know, I pay $40 a month, and it's what I get. But I'm sorry. So, Sean, Lisa, talk to me. I'm on.
Yes.
Here.
Yep. This is Sean. Everybody else here is listening in the other room.
Yeah.
You know, our son, we called in a few weeks ago. We've been talking to
Connor.
You. Connor passed in November. And we're hoping to possibly connect with him and ask him, you know, what he's doing and what he's working through and if he has any messages for us. Here.
Yeah, Eric, can you go get Connor and help him relay what is most important for his parents to hear right now, and his family, of course.
Yeah, I'm just feeling energy right here coming in just behind me. Is Connor a teenager?
No, he wasn't. He was older than that.
Well, maybe he's presenting himself as a teenager now. A lot of people want to do that. They want to be younger.
I'm getting
I'll
just tell you what I'm picking up here. I'm just having Eric bring him in. Just give me a second to kind of get comfortable with the energy here. I do feel a young energy coming across as very lively, with some sense of humor.
Yeah, that definitely sounds like Connor. I think Connor and Eric would probably get along very well together.
I would think so because the energy is very, very familiar to Eric. It feels very familiar with the two of them here. And just to ask you, was it an accident that Connor passed in?
No,
don't you answer. Are you supposed to answer or? Okay, go ahead.
Well, I'm getting something like sudden, accident.
Was it accident or suicide?
Hand up, like something sudden.
Well, okay, Connor, did you take your life or was it an accident? Or was it an accident that looked like suicide? And Eric,
no,
he's not saying
suicide. It's like I wanted to go so far, but didn't mean to go this far. If that makes any sense to you, like there was something. It feels very sudden, but it doesn't feel planned. It doesn't feel, and that's why I'm asking if it was an accident or something, because it doesn't feel like there was a lot of thought to this, or it's just I'm getting like boom, like it was done very quickly, almost so quick that I didn't really see this coming. I didn't really think this was going to happen. Like,
yeah,
is he doing okay?
It was very sudden.
How are you doing, Connor? And is Eric showing you the ropes? Are you guys buddies?
Calling Eric a brother. He's a brother. He's standing just a little bit behind Eric right now, and he's being funny, but yet he's got a sense of shyness to him, and there's an apology coming through, like he wants to, it's like he wants to say, I'm real sorry. I feel this pain. I'm really sorry. He's got a little bit of a, like, holding back, like, I'm sorry I did this. I'm sorry this has caused pain to you. He's doing okay. Is there a sister? Does Connor have a sister or a female that was real close to him?
Yes. Yes.
Because he's pointing out to pain in the female, like real pain in the female, and he wants to let you know that he's helping with that. He's healing as well. So he's got his foot in two different places. He's also saying that Eric is helping show him the rope, but there's some healing that's happening with him. It's like some shock that's being worn off of him. He's fully crossed. He's in a safe place. He's got his humor is very much present, because it's like Eric and him are going back and forth to each other, and he keeps extending himself out to Eric, like, Eric's showing me the way. Eric's showing me the way, but he keeps going back to the female in your family and just saying, I'm sorry, I've got my arm around you. I'm sorry, I've got my arm around you, is what he keeps repeating.
Okay, were they actually brothers in another life? Or just the matter of saying?
Eric is saying that they've been friends. They've been in relationship in other lives, so that they do have a connection. He's not saying brothers, like as blood brothers, but he's calling them blood brothers if they touch blood.
Yeah.
Like they cut
their
fingers,
touch
blood.
Could the female be his mom?
Yes, it could be his mom. And because this
is a
soulmate energy. Yes. And would she have referred to him as a soulmate, as a having a very deep connection with him? Because
all
he's going
all of her children, all of her children were that way.
She's
immensely connected
Connor,
to all of them.
Yeah, Connor or Eric, is what he is talking about the mom or somebody else? Because it could be more than one, obviously.
It is more than one, I will tell you. But yes, the mother is definitely front and present for him. But there's another female. There's another female that he's connected to. And I keep wanting to say a sister or like a sister.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be a friend that maybe you guys don't even know about, a schoolmate or whatever. So one last question, and we have to go to the next caller. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Was he met by any family or pets, and did they help him feel peaceful when he finally crossed?
He's showing me a cat. There's a cat. He's also, so there's a grandfather, and would this be your father?
Yes. Yeah.
Because he's showing grandfather, and he's saying dad, your dad.
Yeah.
This is my dad. This is my dad's dad. He's talking about it being very peaceful for him. There was never a time that he was alone, that he was not in a state of being alone. So he wants to make sure, he says, tell mom that there was no fear in me. That there's no fear in me, that I'm safe, that I am with family. There's also a dog, a larger dog that he's showing. I don't know if it's a lab or something of that size, but it's a little bit larger of a dog. And the dog's just standing a little back before him, so it may have been a dog that you had a while ago.
Or it could be from another life. You never know.
It could be. It could be. But there feels like there's a connection there to this dog.
Yeah.
Like, from this life.
We have several dogs that have passed. So.
Okay, so let me ask you one question, and we need to go to another caller. Was this part of your spiritual contract, Connor, or was it just free will?
He's saying that it was in his contract as an exit point. It was his free will choice at that point. So, meaning
the free will chose that. I got it.
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Sean and Lisa, for calling
Lisa,
in. I hope that helps.
Yeah,
thanks,
Michelle,
Lisa.
Thank you very much. We appreciate
you're
all
welcome.
That you do. Love
you're
you.
Welcome.
Love
you. Much love to you guys.
call any Tuesday, okay? We're here for
okay.
you. I mean, you know, I've been through this, and I want to have y'all's back, and I will do anything to help you that I can anyway. All right, so, oh, gosh.
Absolutely.
It's actually kind of hard for me to do this because, you know, it just triggers a lot of stuff, but...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have somebody from the 732 area code. Hi there, how are you?
Hello?
Hello?
Hey. Hi, how are you?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, we are.
Oh,
oh my God.
Good, okay.
Easton, my grandson, is trying to FaceTime me on the other line. Sorry about that. And usually what he does, he's 3 years old, and usually when he FaceTimes me, all he shows me is a ceiling fan or somewhere in the ceiling. Well, sometimes he will change it up and show me his balls. So I don't know what the, you know, whatever. So I'll wait and call him back. So, okay, 732 area code. How can I help you, darling?
Okay, my son passed, and my daughters would like to know if he has anything he'd like to say to them.
Yeah. What's your son's first name?
Ryan.
Ryan.
Ryan. Okay.
Yeah.
Has it been less than 5 years for Ryan?
It'll be 6 years in May.
Okay.
Mm.
We connect with them here. And it's two daughters, two sisters?
Yes.
Okay.
How old is Ryan?
He was 28.
Yeah, I was just gonna say he doesn't feel very old, and he's showing himself.
No, he was only 28.
Sandwiched between two sisters, so he's in the middle of the two sisters.
Yes.
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 Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's got his arm around each side of them.
So the one sister.
So I feel like this is the younger sister that he's saying. So is she applying for something?
Yeah, she's applying for a job. Yeah.
Okay. So he says, keep going. Don't get discouraged. He says, keep working through it because there's one that's waiting for you. You just have to piece through these next few steps. And now for the older sister, let's see here. Is she wanting a pet or is she thinking about getting, he keeps saying a companion. I don't know why I feel like it's a pet, but there's something about a companion.
I don't know about a pet.
Maybe a husband, a boyfriend. I don't know. Oh, maybe
girlfriend.
She has not shared with you.
Yeah, she has a friend.
Okay.
Okay.
And I gotta tell you, he's being a little bit funny about it.
Yeah. Like, what's he saying?
He's like, her pet.
I think I know why, so go ahead.
Okay, because he's like her pet, and he's doing the like nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Yeah,
her pet.
She has a girlfriend.
Okay. Because he's just doing
that's
thumbs
what
up.
He's doing.
Yeah, he's doing thumbs up, and he's like nudge, nudge it, because he says her companion, and he's like her pet.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean by that? And he's like, nudge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mom,
yeah,
no.
He doesn't know what to call her. He doesn't know what to call her.
Yeah, but he thumbs up. He's like, it's good. This is good.
Good.
And
good.
He's got his hands right on your chest, and he says, Mom, you can feel me. You can feel me.
Oh my God.
Remember that you can feel me. And he goes, I want to make sure that you know that it's me. So he's just saying,
I don't
know
how to know. I can't feel him. I want to, but I don't.
He says,
you know what? Sometimes you have to say, Ryan, make it stronger. Make it stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Make it stronger.
That's right.
Because I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to feel it so bad. And I know he'd try. I know he'd try.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
you know
we
your
were
son.
So close.
You know your son.
Yeah, we were so close.
Yes. Mm. Yes, because he says, I'm not going to address these two without addressing Mom.
Aww.
And he's like right to you. So he wants to make sure that, you know, he says, I'm still your boy. I'm still your boy.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yeah. Tell him I love him so much.
He hears you.
Oh,
he says
knows.
He loves you too. He knows.
Okay.
So, Ryan, how can you best communicate her? Because, you know, I know from my own perspective that grief, especially for a mother, I don't want to say always for a mother, can be so heavy that we are so far down.
Yes.
Electromagnetic
spectrum. I try not to be, but it's hard.
That we cannot, they cannot reach us. And it's so dense and so hard. So, Ryan, tell us a way where you can, like, communicate with her. Like, dropping feathers.
He's saying,
I don't care what it is.
Well, he says in the shower. He says in the shower. He's like, sorry,
in the shower,
I don't look.
Oh, my God.
Because I don't look, but in the shower.
I talk to him a lot in the shower. That's why he's saying that.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So he hears you. And
yeah,
he,
because
and
that's when I have peace,
your,
you know, when I'm
yes,
away from everybody.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what he just said. That's the time that you are the clearest. So he says,
yeah, okay.
Continue to talk to him in the shower.
Okay.
Continue to talk to him. And that's going to develop to more because you're going to start to feel him. You're going to sense him in your body. He says, Mom, this is
my
just the beginning. This is just the beginning.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Thank
that's
you
awesome.
So much.
You're very welcome.
You bet, darling.
All okay.
Right. All right. Love you.
Wow.
Bye-bye.
My love you. Gosh, that's so powerful. I mean, gosh, I just... Okay, we have
you're
somebody
right
from
heart,
the...
I can feel that.
I know. 7-6... Oh, my God, you are changing lives, Michelle. You're so awesome. Got somebody from the 760, Erica. And hi there. How are you?
Hello. Hi, Elise. Hello, how are you?
Hey, what you got for us?
Okay, well, I wanted to ask Eric,
what's your first name?
Oh, I'm sorry, my name is Sarah.
Okay, I know. I just want to make sure everybody else knows.
No, that's okay. And not a problem. I just wanted a little guidance from Eric regarding my husband who's coming home soon from prison. I believe that he has some narcissistic traits, but he's been gone for 7 years now after a fight that him and I had gotten into. So he's getting ready to come home on March the 8th, and I just kind of want to get some feedback from Eric and see what he thinks about my situation or recommends.
So... The first thing that he's saying is he says it's not going to be easy. He says because he's just saying that I'm validating what you already feel, what you already know, and he says it's not going to be easy because changing somebody else's ways is he says to be cautious for the honeymoon phase because it's going to come in sweet. And he says that's his intention. He wants that. He really does want that. But he says there's a lot of healing underneath. There's a lot of repair. Right. And a lot of the repair is with him personally. And he also says that there's pieces with you, too, that is still healing. So he says be very aware of the fact that this is going to take time, that this is going to take a lot of patience. But he also says that this is not going to be a definite one way or another. This is in this teeter-totter stage right now is how it shows. So he said,
so here's what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm thinking, Sarah, that you need to, you know, give it some time, and then I want you to call back in maybe in a month or two or whatever. Because I think it's too early to decide, leave him, not leave him, et cetera. So...
Right.
Anyway,
I'm trying
we had
to close
off
the show.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, no problem.
You're trying
okay.
to give him a chance. You're trying to give him a chance, and you're a wonderful person. I can tell.
Yes, you are.
But anyway, so call back in. You know how to contact me, dude. Okay, so.
Yeah.
But anyway, y'all, thank y'all so much for being patient with this little glitch. That was probably my fault. And I want to thank Eric. I love you. And Michelle, you guys need to check her out at thehealingart.com, which is the thehealingart.com. So love you guys, and until next Tuesday, thank you for joining us. I appreciate you. Bye, guys.
Good night, everybody. Love you, Lisa. Good night.
I love you, too.
Okay.